Education and preachers is to come up with something fresh, something brand new, some hot new stuff, something y'all ain't never heard before out of this text. Y'all been missing it for 2,000 years, and I got it. Right? You know, because I'm just that guy. Right? That's the temptation for preachers. The temptation for those who listen is to tune it out. Because surely by now you figured out everything from the text. Everything that could be squeezed out of that thing, you squoze or squeezed or whatever the proper way to say that is. Amen. We're in Mark chapter 14 today. We're going to look at just seven short verses. Just seven short verses. My sons like to ask me, well, how many verses you got today, Dad? You know, they're trying to somehow figure out what the magic ratio is, Eli. You know, is it 10 minutes per verse? Is it 5 minutes per verse? You know, so I said, well, hey, you know, the word of God is inexhaustible, son. One verse can take you, you know, years to plummet the depths of it. Amen. I think that scares them. As we get into it, we have witnessed the dramatically unjust series of events in the life of Jesus as he has been ushered back and forth throughout the night, from the cowardly court of Pilate to the kangaroo court of Caiaphas. We've watched as one disciple after another have fled in terror. We have worshiped as we have seen the prayerful resolve of our Savior to endure such madness and dishonor and injustice all for us. If you've been around for the last few weeks, this is what we have seen. Today, however, is something different. Today, we get to be both witness and student as we take notes on one of the greatest sellout moments in history. It really is. Today we get to watch the denial of Peter up close and personal as we close out this chapter. We're going to read the text and then we're going to pray. And my hope and my prayer for you and for myself is that as we watch what happened with Peter, we'll learn by God's grace how not to repeat his mistake. That's been my prayer. How not to repeat his mistake again. If we're honest, we've done a Peter type of move before. And so I'm not praying, don't help me be like Pete. I'm praying, don't help me be like Pete again. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn or click with me to Mark chapter 14. No screen today. You got to read your own Bible. I hope you remember how to do it. Amen. We're going to be reading from verses 66 down to 72. I'm in the English Standard Version. Mark 14, verses 66 down to 72. Notice what it says. And as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with the Nazarene, Jesus." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you mean." And he went out into the gateway, and a rooster crowed. And a servant girl saw him and began again to say to the bystanders, "This man is one of them." But again he denied it. And after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, "Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." But he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." And immediately the rooster crowed a second time. And Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And he broke down and he wept. Let's pray. Father God, we bless your name. God, we come as just a few of your servants gathered together in this place, perhaps friends, perhaps those who are curious about you. And our prayer, God, is simply that you would speak to us today. Lord, that you wouldn't just speak to us, God, but that you would do a work on our hearts, Lord, enliven our hearts, that we might be receptive to what we hear and understand today, and that we wouldn't just be receptive to it, Lord, but empower our limbs, Lord, that we might go from this place, having been changed by a little time with you. Although do a work in us, we pray for your glory. We ask it all and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In my intro, I said that my hope and prayer was that we would watch Peter and learn by God's grace not to repeat his mistake again. I didn't know if you caught this, so I wanted to make sure to repeat it. Now, I say this with all the love in my heart. I do. I know people have accused me of being harsh at times. I don't know where they got it from. But, okay, amen, amen. It's quiet in this church. But I do. I really do say this with all the love in my heart for every Christian in this church and for those of you who will watch this or listen to this later. You are Peter. And I am Peter. And as much as we might like to just pile on old Pete today, it would be great and easy for us to say, look at him. Shame on him. Look what he did. Oh, my goodness, that would never be me. The sad truth is that I have denied Jesus many more times than Peter ever did. And probably so have you. We get to read about old Pete's story. It's rough when your greatest failures are in print or on social media for everybody to see and pause and replay and put in the slow-mo, analyze it to the nth degree. You know, man, I'm glad that they didn't have this social media stuff back in the 80s. I'm so glad there's not a record of all of my foolishness, you know, from the 70s, what have you. Woo, Lord, man, that stuff get to be with the JFK files and all of that, right? You know, I try to convince my teenagers, you know, y'all don't have to live y'all lives so out loud. So you're going to want a job one day. And, you know, and everything is out there. Somebody can find it. You know, they have people whose job it is to vet you. And they scour the internet. So I'm trying to get them to understand, but Peter didn't have the internet either. And yet we see his rough day. His worst day. We'll talk about how I failed him, how you failed him in a bit, but let that marinate for a minute. Now, in this classic text, so I won't bore you with platitudes from sermons of old or offend you by trying to be esoterically deep. Right? I don't want to do either one of those. Well, what I will do is bring your attention to the origin of Peter's denial, the progression of Peter's denial, and the price of Peter's denial. The origin of Peter's denial, the progression of Peter's denial, and the price of Peter's denial is kind of a framework for today. We'll take a good look at these, and then we'll see what the Holy Spirit does, and then we'll worship the Lord in communion. Amen? So, the origin. Where did it all begin? Where did the train go off the tracks? We see Peter's first denial in verse 68, right? In verse 68, we see his denial, and we'll come back to it in a few moments because his denial doesn't begin right there. That's just where we see it. It didn't begin right there. You ever think about a low moment in your own life? Maybe you blew it big time, and maybe you ask yourself, when did it all go wrong? Right, I hope you do retrospective analysis of yourself. Far easier to do it with somebody else, but far more beneficial for us to do it of ourselves. Right? I know it got exposed right there. I know that's when it happened, but when did it really happen? When did the train go off the tracks? Right? When did the train go off the tracks with Peter? For us, it usually happens sometime before the actual incident, didn't it? Right? And we can track that in Peter's life. You see, Peter's train left the tracks back in verse 29. You got your Bibles. Go back and take a look at verse 29 of this very chapter. Right? Chapter 14 still. This is when his train left the tracks. It was just a day or two ago in the life of Peter. For us, just a few verses ago. Notice what was said. Look at verses 27 down through 31, right? Verses, Mark 14, verse 27 down through 31 says, and Jesus said to them, you will all fall away, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Verse 29, Peter said to him, even though they all fall away, I will not. I could just imagine he did that. Right? Even though all them disciples, all the other 11 or 10, how many left right now? Right? Would be 10, right? I'm not going to punk out, Lord. And Jesus said to him, truly I tell you, looking directly at Peter now, just Peter put himself out there, right? Jesus looking right at him. Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. But he, Peter, said emphatically, clapping back at Jesus. Now, just think about this for a minute. If I must die with you, I will not deny you. Now, in case you ever missed it, it's not just Peter that makes this statement. It says, and they all said the same. Peter is the front man, but the Pips is right there. Gladys is singing the song, but the Pips is right there. Some of y'all too young to know what I'm talking about. Even though they all fall away, I will not, he said. If I must die with you, I will not deny you, he said. These were his words directly to Jesus in front of all the other disciples. Now, the Apostle Paul later reminds us all to watch out when we think we stand, lest we fall. You're wondering where that's at? That's in 1 Corinthians, right? He tells us this. Peter thought that he would stand strong for Jesus. He thought he could stand strong with Jesus. This is what he thought. Why did he think that? Why did Peter think that he could stand strong for Jesus and stand strong with Jesus? Did he think that his love for Jesus would keep him? Don't be saying good songs. I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord, today because you care for me in such a special way. Whatever your favorite song is, don't we serenade him and then immediately go punk out somewhere. Did he think that his respect for Jesus would ensure his victory? Anybody got an argument about Jesus being the greatest man ever, the most insightful teacher, the most prophetic prophet? All right, even atheists got to give a shout out to his moral caliber. Great respect for Jesus. Did he think that he himself was him? We've been saying for a year, Jesus is him. Did Peter think when he clapped back at Jesus, I don't care what you're saying, Lord, I will not deny you. Did he think that perhaps he was him? I don't know what he was thinking, but I do know what he forgot. Take a quick look at Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. I don't want you to forget this, and I certainly don't want to forget it. Proverbs 16, 18, simple verse. Let's make that your memory verse for the week. Pride goes before what? Destruction, and a haughty spirit before what? Now, some of y'all misquoted it. I heard you. You said pride go before fall. Pride goes before destruction. And along with that, a haughty spirit before the fall. This was written 1,000 years before Jesus stepped on the scene. The psalmist, the proverb writer, rather knew something about when we're thinking a little too highly of ourselves, what the end's going to be. The proverb writer says, I saw this movie. Let me tell you how it ends. When you're thinking you, him, you're thinking you're her, that you're all that. This is where Peter's denial originated, family. He got way out of pocket, thought a lot too highly of himself. So highly, in fact, that he was going to correct Jesus on both his own prophecy and what the very word of God had to say. That's heavy stuff right there. Like, I don't care what the Bible say. I'm telling you what I'm saying. Woo! That's just a scary thought, isn't it? He was prideful. He was prideful, so prideful that he thought he knew better than his master, who just told him and all of them that they would scatter, and if for no other reason than that the scriptures should be fulfilled. Jesus didn't say y'all gonna scatter because y'all some punks. Don't mean to offend anybody. Just got to keep it 100 today. That's not what Jesus said. He didn't say you're gonna scatter because you're some cowards. You're gonna scatter because you don't really love me, that you don't respect me. He didn't say any of that. He said you're gonna scatter because the scriptures got to be fulfilled. Now that's okay. So I mean, I'm not as miserable as I. I mean, okay. So it's just prophecy, Lord. That's why I'm gonna sell out. Okay. No problem. Okay, I can get down with that. I'm really not the worst sort of human being possible. Right? It's okay, you know, let your will be done, Jesus. Right? You know, this is, I mean, you know, that might have been what I said, right? But maybe not. Maybe I would have been every bit as prideful as Peter. Maybe you would have been every bit as prideful. How dare Jesus say I would betray him? I've been walking behind this man every day and night, day in, day out for 3.5 years. How could he ever say I would dip on him? How could he ever say that? I mean, doesn't he know that my devotion is true? Doesn't he know that I'm sincere in my fidelity to him? Doesn't he know that? Sure he does. But he also knows we're pitifully weak. And he also knows that the scripture's got to be fulfilled. Lest I throw my Bible away, God knows more than we do. God exists outside of time, so he's from everlasting to everlasting. Right? And so his ways are above our ways. And so I've been trying to hear Jesus' voice on the tone in which he delivers the news to the guys. Does he say, "You're gonna betray me," with anger and indignation? Does he say it with sadness? You're gonna betray me. Does he say it with indifference? "You're gonna betray me." I don't know the tone of his voice. I don't believe that it has anger and indignation in it, and we'll see why a little bit later, but it's just heavy. I mean, what do you do when God gives you a word that you don't like? What do you do when God tells you, you know, you're going to be the villain in this scene? Not the story, just the scene. That's something to think about. Jesus didn't say that they would stay scattered. He said, "You're going to deny me, or you're going to scatter. Everybody's going to flee." He didn't say you was going to leave forever, though. See, you got to find hope in the story, right? I get to make a comeback, maybe, right? He didn't say they would stay scattered, just that they would. Don't think that because you like, love, respect, admire, or even worship Jesus that you or I couldn't deny him. Don't think it. Watch what you think about yourselves. Watch what you think about yourself. It's really easy in our American, I'm so wonderful, look at me, take a selfie of me being so wonderful society, to think that I would never do anything as horrendous as what the other people who are doing horrendous things are doing. Right? I mean, you know, we do some sideways comparisons and say, okay, I didn't do what she did, and I didn't do what he did. Therefore, I'm him. Right? This is how we do. We compare ourselves sideways. Right? You know, so soon as somebody get in trouble, well, you know, I ain't doing what they did. Right? We see it with our children. We see it with spouses. We see it with coworkers. We see it with friends. We see it with political figures. Right? You say, "Trump is horrible." Trump says, "Well, I ain't Hitler." Right? You say, "Oh, Biden is horrible." He said, "But I'm not Nixon." Take your pick. right, right. And we all have somebody that's worse than us in our sight. And maybe you're saying, hey, I'm not Peter. Because Peter did that, and he did it three times in the space of, man. Watch what you think about yourselves. Now, I got to watch what I think about myself, right? Well, we can't get cocky. When I say we, I'm speaking about believers, right? We can't get cocky. And I wish I had a bit more time, but I don't, so I got to move on. And so as we head back to our text, we next see the progression of Peter's denial. We got solid down, I think, the origin of his denial. Let's take a look at the progression of Peter's denial. It happens in stages, and it takes place over the span of an hour or two, right? We see it in six short verses, right? It's six short verses, but in real time, it's about an hour or two. And so let me diagram it for you. In verse 68, we see what I'll call the ignorant denial. Write that down. The ignorant denial. What did Peter say to the servant girl when she charged him with being with Jesus? I don't know what you're talking about. All right, for those of you who used to watch Different Strokes, what you talking about, Willis? I don't know what you're talking about is essentially what he said, right? Now, if you Peter's defense attorney, you would probably say something like, well, he didn't actually deny Jesus right here. Right? Look carefully at the text. Right? And if you're going to be a defense attorney, you would say he did not actually deny Jesus right here. Right? To which I would say, that's some crap. That's exactly what I would say. Those of you who know me know I would say it exactly like that. Right? What Peter is doing here, let me hip you to what he's doing, because it may not come across in the English in which we read it. What he's doing here is using a common Jewish legal expression, according to the Bible Knowledge Commentary, and they say that what Peter is literally saying is, I neither know nor understand what you are saying. Now, some of y'all may be old enough to remember the Oliver North hearings. With the Iran-Contra hearings. And he did the whole play dumb routine. Right? What Peter is doing 2,000 years prior is feigning ignorance. Or just playing dumb, as we would say. I don't know what you're talking about. Like, I don't understand the words coming out your mouth. Right? So he's not even dealing with Jesus. He's dealing with her, where he thinks she is, trying to make, you know, now we would say he's gaslighting, right? Right. So, you know, like, so is she looking at herself saying, well, am I not speaking clearly? You know, can I say it some other way? You know, do you know Jesus? This is what Peter is up to in this moment, right, as he plays dumb. Now, not to get caught up in the legalese here, let me give you how Jesus thinks about this. Right, right. Take a quick look at Luke chapter 11, verse 23, because Jesus makes things really plain and simple, and I love him for it because it prevents those of us who like to dwell in the gray. Some of us like to live in the gray, where we can rationalize and make ourselves feel good about our various betrayals of the Lord, right? Luke chapter 11, verse 23, Jesus says this. Look at these words. Whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather with me scatters. Anybody see any middle ground in that verse? Can I find a nice, comfortable spot where I ain't got to pick a side? Right? Jesus said, no. Let me stop all you guys who think you Swiss. Right? Right? Switzerland, you know, we're not gonna be in the war. We're not going to be with the Allies. We're not going to be with the Axis powers. We're going to be in the middle. We're not playing. Right? We cool with everybody. No, Jesus said, you can't be cool with everybody. You either with me or you not. If you're not on my program, you are against my program. So if you're not actively engaged in my program, you are actively engaged against my program. This is what Jesus says. And so as we think about Peter, now Peter heard those words. And so as we think about Peter in this moment playing dumb, is he actively with Jesus? Is he actively in Jesus' program? No. which means by definition, he is actively against him. Right? He's actively denying him right now, even though he is trying to wiggle his way and rationalize his way out of doing it, out of having to wear that title of a denier of Christ. What do we learn about an ignorant denial? Well, what you learn about an ignorant denial is to not affirm that you're with Jesus is to deny Jesus. That's the simple thing that we learn. In other words, here it is, bring it on home. What you got for us today, Pastor Flynn? Keeping silent about your relationship with Jesus is a denial of Jesus. You say, wait a minute, what if I wear a t-shirt? Anybody can buy a t-shirt. Does that make you saved because you got a t-shirt on? Y'all remember the What Would Jesus Do bracelets 20 years ago, right? You know, I'm sure it was a whole bunch of folks that don't know nothing about Jesus, ain't a bit more worship Jesus, had the bracelet. Somebody bought it for him. You know, it was cute. It was matched outfit, right colors, whatever, right? Maybe they didn't even mean What Would Jesus Do. Maybe their name was James. Maybe their name was Jenny. So it was, what would James do? What would Jenny do? Right? But you don't know what's going on in their mind when they wear the bracelet, when they wear the t-shirt, right? When they got a license plate or a bumper sticker. These things, you know, are they speaking up? Are we speaking up for Jesus when the conversation take a funny turn at work? And somebody say, you know, them Christians, and they got something negative to say. Now, I'm not saying you got to punch everybody out who says something stupid about Christianity. That is not what I'm saying. To be clear, not saying you got to cuss them out, punch them out, slap them, kick them, or do anything. I am saying that when those moments arise, when it comes time to show what team you on, do you hide the jersey or do you wear it? It's something to think about. Our silence is a denial of Jesus. What's next, you ask? Well, what's next is to notice Peter's change in location. Notice the text. I mean, this was so deep in the text to me. Read carefully, read prayerfully as you read, saints, so we don't miss subtle shifts. In Mark 14, okay, where we go? I'm trying to get back there. There we go. All right. Right after this first denial here, and we're in verse, what verse are we in? Oh, crap. All right, 58? 68. All right, there we go. Thank you. All right. Says here, but he denied it, saying, I don't know, understand what you mean. And then look what the next sentence says. And he went out into the gateway. And we're just going to pause there. So remember, Pastor Sonny set the stage for us last week. We're in Caiaphas' house. There's and they're upstairs and in the back. John's there with Jesus doing his thing. They're having their kangaroo court. Peter is outside in the courtyard warming himself by the fire. The first confrontation happens. Peter plays dumb with the young lady. Right now, she's nobody. She's a servant girl. There's nothing that says, she's not saying, get out or anything, right? So right after Peter makes this denial, he right. He goes elsewhere, right? And he doesn't completely leave the premises, as we'll see, but he does leave. There's this subtle shift that happens after this first denial. Let me play it back for you again. Pastor Sonny told us how they all left, but Peter and John, they came back. John went with them. Peter stayed what Pastor Sonny called a comfortable distance. A comfortable distance, right? Well, right after the ignorant denial, again, Peter has shifted. What are you saying, Pastor Flynn? I'm saying that right after his ignorant denial, he went a little farther away from Jesus. Right? I mean, he's physically distancing himself just a little further away. Farther. I had to look up to make sure I was using further and farther correctly. Right? We're talking about distance, so it's farther. right? So he had to go a little farther away from him, right? Not miles, maybe just feet, but a little farther. Don't lose that. Not miles, maybe just feet, but still a little farther. Now, you might say, why? Why this subtle shift? Well, in Peter's case, he didn't want to be recognized. His comfortable distance initially was still enough to get him recognized. You one of Jesus's boys. Nah, I know what you're talking about. You know, because maybe by the fire light was, you know, you're by the fire and the light of the fire. So you can see his face. So he may get away from the fire into the shadows. And so I'm a little harder to identify as somebody who was with Jesus. Let me ask you, did you notice that you drifted a little farther away from him? I wondered if even Peter even think about it. I wonder, did he think about this fact? I mean, and right now, Peter's filled with fear of being recognized, and that recognition, perhaps he ends up in court, and in court, he perhaps ends up dying, even though he said, I'll die for you, right? So this fear is driving him to do what he never thought he would do. And I wonder with us, as we have our little denials and we drift a little further back into the shadows, I wonder if we recognize that we're getting further away from him. Was it just an extra week or two away from the assembly? An extra day or two since you talked to him? Oh, yeah, I know how we do it. You know, we good, we solid for a while. Man, I've been in church, you know, 6 Sundays in a row, 12 Sundays in a row, and then something happened. Pow, bam, boom, life. And then all of a sudden, you know, oh, man, you know, Lord, why'd you let that happen? Lord, I'm not, you know, oh, you know, they didn't come through. Pastor Sunday didn't call me back. You know, oh, Pastor Flynn didn't have the answer. You know, Minister Rhonda, you know, she said she booked my appointment, but it didn't happen. You know, I feel let down. Right, you know, so now, you know, okay, I'll see you guys next month. You know, and I used to pray every day. I made sure as soon as I woke up and brushed my teeth, I prayed. And a couple of days I hit snooze and I didn't brush my teeth, so I forgot to pray. I need us to appreciate how insidious it is and how easily it happens. For us to break in our discipline, for us to break in our devotion, and all of a sudden, days turn into weeks. Weeks turn into months. And what have we done? We haven't geographically moved, but yet we find ourselves a little farther away from Jesus. This is how it happens. Did you notice what happened next? The rooster crowed. Now, I should tell you that none of the other gospel writers even mention this first rooster crow. None of them even mention it. And Peter seems to not even notice it. Commentators didn't make much of it either. They thought that Peter missed it simply because it was the normal time for the rooster to be crowing. We don't get it was 3:30 in the morning, or it was 4 o'clock in the morning, or 6 a.m. We don't get that from the text, right? So any of these things might be true. They might not be true. But I had the thought that wouldn't it be nice to have a denying Jesus early warning system? Wouldn't it be nice? I mean, you know, I find myself on the line and you know, let me get back there, you know. I'm over here. I'm at work. I'm shooting the breeze. Wouldn't it be nice to have a denying Jesus early warning system so you could get yourself together? No such thing. No rooster for me. No rooster for you. Peter missed it. He didn't. Yeah, you know, is it snooze? Is this the divine snooze button that Peter missed? Because Jesus didn't tell him it was going to happen before the rooster crowed twice, and it just goes on by. That's something, isn't it? I said in my notes, I wonder if I would miss it. I know the answer to that question. I wonder if you would miss it, and hopefully you know the answer to that question. So what we'll do is go on and see our next denial in the very next verse or two, although a small bit of time may have elapsed, right? Mark 14, 69 and 70 says, "And a servant girl saw him and began again to say to the bystanders, 'This man is one of them.' But again, he denied it." We'll just stop right there. The second denial. This denial, I'll call the persistent denial. So we had an ignorant denial, and this one is the persistent denial. Mark simply says that he again denied. Denied what? What did he deny? Being a follower of Jesus is what's implied. Because she said, "This man is one of them." One of who? One of Jesus' disciples, one of the followers of Jesus. This is what the young woman says about him. And so he denies that fact, that he is a follower. He's one of the guys, right? Matthew tells us a bit more about this second denial in Matthew 26, 72, where he states that Peter denied it with an oath. Now, I doubt he said, "Swear to God." Right? "I swear to God," I doubt that he said that. Right, but I'll tell you what he probably did say. He might have said something like the young cats say, "Trust." My sons say that when they want me to believe something. Right, you know, and I'm saying, well, you know, son, you know, you got to wake up, you got to do this. "Trust, Dad, trust." All right, you've heard it. Right, you know, maybe that's what Peter said, or maybe he said, "Oh, my mama." That's when you really know they're telling the truth, when they say, "Oh, my mama," "Oh, my dead grandmama." I mean, you're trying to sign something that's going to make this believable. All right, I don't know what I got to swear to, but whatever I say, you got to make sure that you know I'm telling the truth if I say these things, right? Whatever he said it with a little extra on it, which is different from the first time, right? He's got to put a little extra on it. Let me ask you, do you put a little extra on it when pressed about the relationship with Jesus that you might be trying to hide? Put a little extra on it? Put some hot sauce on that? Think it'll taste better? Some ketchup? Whatever you got to put on it to make this thing seem at least plausible to the person you're trying to sell it to. Right, I don't want you to think I'm one of them Christians. Right, it's nothing worse. You get into a conversation and folks is railing about them Christians and this, and you one of them Christians over here, and you know, but you're like, "Oh, it's time to 007. I got to go in secret agent spy Christian mode. Like, I don't need them to know I'm one of them Christians. Let me hide my shirt. Let me slide my Bible up over here. I was bumping gospel music when I came up. Let me come on out to, news radio talk, you know, whatever." Right. What do we do? Do we dim it down a little bit? And we say, no, you know. And then they had the audacity to say, "Hey, ain't you go to church, don't you? You got those coworkers? They all of a sudden know your life?" Right. You know, now, hey, I need you to represent all of Christians right quick. You know, tell me why you guys have the issue with this. Don't you know God is love? Why does he have an issue on who I love? Isn't he love? Speak on behalf of all Christians, please. Right? You know how we that kind of laugh. Well, Isn't it something that you can deny Jesus with a denial, a denial? I didn't know I could deny Jesus with a sound. That's heavy right there. We deny him with a sound, a chuckle. But we trying to hide some stuff beneath that thing. Like, don't press me too hard to give an answer to say what the scriptures just say. We might say some stuff. Now, some of us don't go cowardly about it. Some of us get a little aggressive about it. We're like, man, I done told you. Yeah, I go to church. Shut up about it. You do you, I'm going to do me. Is that affirming Jesus or is that affirming me? We might, get a little more aggressive. Hey, chill on that. Right? Listen, you get to do whatever. You believe what you want to believe. Let me believe what I want to believe. Even if I'm not articulating what I believe or why I believe it, just leave me be. That thought brings us to our last denial. We see it in verses 70 and 71. It says, and after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter. Don't know how long this little while is, but again, an hour or two in total time. The bystanders say, certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean. In other words, you ain't from around here. Your voice betrays you. You don't sound like we do. But he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, I do not know this man of whom you speak. First time he said it this directly. It was nuanced before, now it's direct. I call this one the insistent denial. The insistent denial. Here, Peter is so determined to make them believe his word over their own ears that he curses and swears. Now, this is not likely profanity, which is what I believe for most of my life. That's why you got to study. It's not likely profanity here, although that is what I grew up thinking. The word curse here means to invoke divine harm if what is said is not true. Right? Not harm on them, harm on himself. So he said, you know what? Let God curse me if I'm telling. This is deep. You just got to appreciate how far off the rails Peter is. So I may God curse me if I'm telling the truth, if I'm telling a lie about not knowing him. Now, Peter better be God glad, and it's not my turn to preach the aftermath of all this that Jesus didn't say, okay, I got you. Yeah. You want to bring it down like that? I'm going to bring it down like that. You going to lie on my name? You know, but that's another sermon. This is some stuff right here. The word swear here means to affirm or promise with an oath, right? And so Peter did all this to convince them that he was telling the truth when he wasn't. How far do you go to sell a lie? How far do you go? How far would you go? I started thinking about this. You know, I had a student one time that we caught cheating. And the show that this brother put on, I mean, we caught him dead. I mean, we caught him flat. And this brother just went into you would have thought he had epilepsy and Tourette's and all of this stuff rolled up into one. I mean, he started rolling around on the floor, and he cussing and fussing and doing all of this, right? And so later on, we get him out in the hall. He said, I had to do all that because, I couldn't let y'all see I had the answers written in my hand. Now, we had already busted him, but in his mind, he had to go into this Oscar-winning presentation of a crazy man. He was busted already. I wonder if some of us do that. We got an Oscar-winning presentation of a crazy person so that nobody will know that we're a follower of Christ. Something to think about. Did you ever double and triple down on a lie? You're not a gambler, you don't know what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord, I'm glad you don't. If you are a gambler, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you were a gambler. And such were some of you. Right. You just keep stacking the chips on that. It's a lie. Yeah, you know, we know you lying. No, I'm not. We know you lying. No, I'm not. I told you I'm not. I'm really not. You just keep doing that, right? This is what Peter's doing. Now, I know we got to move on, and I have to, but what we have to ask and what we have to learn from this is, how did it get this far? How did he get this far? How did he go from proclaiming that he was ride or die with Jesus to insistently denying that he even knew him? I mean, again, this is not weeks, months, and years, family. This is hours and perhaps day. Just yesterday, I'm ride or die with you. Today, I don't know you, and I'm invoking curses on myself to prove that I don't. I mean, 24-hour swing, maybe. How did he go that far? I think it started with a proud assessment of himself before God, before this guy who walked with him every day. You walk with God every day, and yet it doesn't help you have a proper assessment of yourself. He walked with Jesus every day for 3 years and some change, and he still thought that he was the man. He still thought that he had it within himself to self-actualize his Christianity. Now, if that's too heavy for you, and I hope it's not, how many of us think we can just will and gut it out to following Jesus? If we can just will ourselves to do right by God? I would venture to say, if we took a poll and we did an honest assessment, most of us think, you know what? This Christianity thing is really just about making sure you set your mind right. You know, kind of like a New Year's resolution every day. Granted, that's part of it. Ezra said, I set my heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. And so there is a part of your Christian walk that does depend upon you setting your mind to do it, but it is not the major part. It is a part, right? Because somewhere along the way, when I'm setting my heart, I got to have enough sense to say, Lord, this is what I want to do for you. God, help me do it. Because I recognize that in and of myself, no man or woman in the history of humanity has ever been able to do it on their own. What makes me think in the billions of people who ever lived that I would be the one that could do this Christianity thing without the Holy Spirit? Right? That I could follow Jesus, that I could be a decent father, a loving husband. Pick any particular area of your life where you want to do your Christianity. Let's not do the whole area. Let's not do the whole life. Let's just say we could boil Christianity down to just one single area. Right? I'm going to pick fatherhood. Now, I say, you know what, Lord? I'm going to be the best father ever to your glory. I got this. Do you know I wouldn't last 24 hours with just these two? I'm missing one right now. He in college. I wouldn't last 24 hours with just these two. If you know them, you know, I need a whistle. I need a counselor's chair. I need all of this just to try to father these guys without killing them or helping them kill each other. Love you guys. You know... And without losing my testimony, half the time I'm thinking, Lord, okay, I can't become the crazy dad to stop the crazy teenager. All right, I can't lose my testimony and have them saying to me, but Dad, you're supposed to be a pastor. You're not supposed to be cussing and fussing, Dad. They ain't cussing and fussing, so don't, my boys are good boys, so you know. All right, they just doing regular dumb teenage stuff that gets on my nerves, that makes me want to cuss and fuss. And if I don't have the Holy Spirit to help me, I'll be one of them fathers on TV, running down the street with a wife beater on, whatever, like, you ain't going to be in my house doing all that. You doing all that. You're like, no. I'm like, the Holy Spirit had to be like, whoa. I'm like, man. And that's just one area. I got to be a husband to an almost perfect wife. Amen. Amen. Almost. But my problem is the other 1% of the time, it's awful hard, that 1% of the time. And then I got to go to work and be a Christian too, to all them other people's kids. And they trying to drive me crazy and push all my buttons. They making me want to go east side every day, Sonny, every day. Y'all will see me on the news somewhere like, oh, no, not Pastor Flynn too. So you mean to tell me I need, just the fact that I want to be a good dad and a good husband and a good teacher, just the fact that it's really in me. I'm sincere in my desire to want to do all of that stuff. And yet I find that sincerity and that desire only lasts about 15 minutes until they start attacking me. Right? And all this pressure is coming my way. And man, I find that I am such a weak individual. And there's no possible way to do that and that and that and then come in here and preach sermons and, oh, go to school and do all that and you want to just run away and hide somewhere. And it's like, wow, how can I do any of this? And the Holy Spirit is like, I got you. Just keep trusting me. Keep trusting me. I know you don't see how it's going to happen. You don't have a clue how it's going to work out. I just need you to trust me. Listen to me. Listen to me, family. Listen to me. We have to trust God for exactly this much. That's what we got to trust God for. And then guess what we got to trust him for? That's what we have to trust God for, right? Because if we think any bigger than that, we will punk out in a heartbeat. We will sell out in a heartbeat. It's just the next step. It's the next interaction. It's the next conversation. It's the next knucklehead phase. All of this, we have to trust God for this. Otherwise, we will find ourselves in all of these different phases of denial. You know, the rooster crowed that second time because we get to see how it ends. That's the question. How did it all end? Verse 72, that rooster crowed second time. He did his job. Rooster was part of prophecy. He didn't know. Peter wakes up all of a sudden. Snooze button not hit this time. Peter wakes up. He remembers what Jesus said. Then it hits him like a wrecking ball. This is heavy stuff. Luke tells us that Jesus looked at him. My brother's back there in the back. And I could just imagine, I don't know the physical distance between Jesus and Peter, but what I do know is that there was line of sight, right? And so we got a courtyard scene. Peter then drifted back in the corner and did this last denial. The rooster then crowed, and Jesus way over there in the courtyard. And I could just imagine, I trail you Jesus right now, so give me a Jesus type of look. All right, there you go. Thank you. All right. And so, you know, they lock eyes for just a moment. Peter sees Jesus seeing him. And it completely undoes him. It completely undoes him. You know, man, it says that he broke down and wept in Mark, right? Matthew and Luke tell us that he wept bitterly. Did he remember that he once told Jesus that he alone had the words of eternal life? Did Peter remember that? I bet he did. Well, that's it for Peter until next week, family. The chapter ends with him distraught over his denial. Quite a different story than Judas. My chapter is not over. Neither is yours. Let me ask you, has your rooster crowed a second time yet? Have we realized where and how we might be denying Jesus today? Have we realized that? Is it the ignorant denial of silence when we should speak on his behalf? Is it the persistent denial that takes farther and farther away, that takes us farther and farther away from him a step at a time? Is it the insistent denial where we do and say anything so we won't suffer the consequences of being with Jesus? Maybe that rooster is crowing today. And maybe you remember. Maybe you can see him across the courtyard looking at you, not with vengeance in his eyes, but with tender mercy. This is who we serve. If you didn't know it, let me tell you now, Peter's story doesn't end right here. Oh, thank God for the rest of the story. He gets to make one of the greatest comebacks ever. He really does. It's a beautiful story, right? What about you? What about me? Maybe today can be your comeback day. If you don't know him, then maybe today can be your come to day. Right? If we're saved, maybe we got to make a comeback. If we're not saved, and we have to have a come to. Wherever you are in your relationship with Jesus, he is waiting with open arms. Amen? Amen. God bless you, saints.
Thank you for listening to the Detroit Church Podcast. We'd love you to subscribe, like, and rate. And if you're not already, you can follow us on social media by searching for Detroit Church.